We all were challenged to think about how women were experiencing things, how immigrants were experiencing this hate.
I, like so many other people, had this sucker punch because we wound up with Donald Trump.
I know.
How the hell did that happen?
I hate to say that Donald Trump unified us in that way.
Whatever it takes.
If we are a movement about love, saying good morning without the disrespect, without the hatred, is kind of disarming in some ways.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Israel's chief rabbi calls for homosexual executions, gay arrests alarm activists in the Ivory Coast and Turkey, and it's the dawn of the Donald.
Believe me.
Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wendell Jones.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending November 19, 2016. Israel's chief rabbi, Shlomo Amar, told the newspaper Israel Hayom this week that Jewish law requires what he called the cult of abomination, homosexuality, to be punished by execution. He described same-gender sexual attraction as a lust, as with any other kind of lust, that could and should be resisted. Rabbi Amar is the leader of the Sephardic Jewish community in Jerusalem, for which he receives an Israeli government paycheck. He previously called the Holy City's annual LGBT Pride Parade an embarrassing phenomenon and condemned the parade's desecration of God's name in Jerusalem. Several members of parliament have written to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to complain about the rabbi's most recent comments. Three wrote a joint letter demanding that a public figure that puts Israeli citizens' life at risk using incitement and exclusion should be immediately fired. Opposition Meretz party leader Zahava Galon wrote on her Facebook page that Rabbi Amar can cover himself in the Torah as much as he wants, but we hear his darkness, not the Torah. The time has come to stop paying for his salary.
The BBC reported that Israeli LGBT activist Shirley Kleinman has filed a formal complaint with the police, accusing Rabbi Amar of incitement to murder. As she wrote on her Facebook page, "Let's try and ensure that this man will not remain in his key public position." Israel Hayom itself reported that another complaint charging incitement has been filed by Oded Fried, formerly the head of the nation's leading LGBT advocacy group, Agudah. "I call on law enforcement and elected officials who hold the power to act without delay," he told the newspaper, "to prosecute to the full extent of the law anyone who calls for harming people on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity."
Two men were each given three-month prison sentences for public indecency in the Ivory Coast earlier this month. Gay sex is not against the law in the West African nation, but public indecency is. Despite its reputation as a relatively tolerant place in Africa for LGBT people, homophobia runs deep in the country's culture. A mob ransacked the Abidjan headquarters of Alternative Côte d'Ivoire, a leading national LGBT rights organization, in January 2014. Several gay men were reportedly attacked and forced to flee their homes in June after a U.S. embassy picture circulated in social media showing them signing a condolence book for the 49 people killed in Orlando's LGBT Pulse nightclub massacre. Frank Amani, advocacy director for Espace Confiance, a group that provides health services to sexual minorities, told the Associated Press this week that it's the first known case of gay men being prosecuted under the country's public indecency statutes. He said the two men, aged 31 and 19, denied having a sexual relationship. "We are revolted by what is happening," Amani said, "and by the judgment that was given."
A Turkish LGBT rights activist and lawyer was arrested this week in Istanbul, along with other members of his HDP political party, as part of an ongoing crackdown on dissent by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Levant Pishkin was arrested at his apartment in the early morning hours of November 14th, soon after he visited the imprisoned leader of his pro-Kurdish HDP, who was jailed last week. The HDP is the only major political party in Turkey with pro-LGBT policies. Some of Pishkin's belongings were also confiscated, including his computer and phone. Over the past few years, according to a report in the English-language Armenian Mirror Spectator, the high-profile human rights activist and attorney has suffered constant harassment. A bomb attributed to Turkish nationalists recently went off in his garden. President Erdogan sued him in March 2014 for insult, slander, or heavy provocation of a public official for their public service, for which he was fined the equivalent of $3,700. The Observatory for the Protection of Human Rights Defenders, a partnership of international rights groups Pishkin has represented, announced on November 16th that he'd been provisionally released pending the end of the investigation. He has yet to be charged with a crime.
In other news, organizers of the annual Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade have let it be known that Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is no longer welcome. He became the first sitting Australian PM to attend the parade earlier this year, though he didn't march in it, but he won't be invited back in 2017. The disinvitation was approved this week at the annual general meeting of the Mardi Gras Board via a motion offered by Kat Rose of Community Action Against Homophobia. LGBT activists have condemned both Turnbull's failed marriage equality plebiscite and his gutting of the Queer Supportive Australian Safe Schools program. He announced soon after the plebiscite proposal failed in Parliament that his governing coalition has no plans to address the issue of marriage equality, at least in the near future. "We wanted to express our disgust at his prime ministership as a community," Rose said, "and to say that we don't need his phony friendship." The official motion reads, "The annual general meeting of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras does not believe that a prime minister who denies us equality should be welcome as an official guest at our parade." Twitter has been percolating with both pro and con reactions. Some thank the board, while others call the declaration counterproductive, petty, or small-minded. The Guardian newspaper noted that the vote was non-binding.
Elsewhere, jailed transgender U.S. Army private Chelsea Manning is hoping President Barack Obama will commute her 35-year prison sentence before he leaves office. The whistleblower, considered a patriot by some and a traitor by others, was responsible for the greatest leak of intelligence material in U.S. history, some of it disclosing unprosecuted war crimes by the American military in Iraq. She tweeted this week that, "I ask POTUS for time served, a first chance to live out of prison as a woman." Manning has attempted suicide twice since July. The first came out of a deepening depression over being in a male military prison and not being allowed to present as female. The second attempt took place last month while she was being punished by solitary confinement for the first suicide attempt. Manning's supporters have launched a petition that asks for her release. It says, "Chelsea is a woman in a men's facility facing ongoing mistreatment. Her life is at risk and you can save her." The petition at whitehouse.gov also claims that Chelsea has already served more time in prison than any individual in United States history who disclosed information in the public interest. Her disclosures harmed no one. The petition needs 99,999 signatures by December 14th to get a response from the White House.
Ellen DeGeneres has received many accolades in her life, starting with her brilliantly brave coming out in real life and as a lead character on her TV sitcom in 1997. She's hosted the Academy Awards twice, along with other national award shows, all to great reviews, and has ruled U.S. daytime TV since 2003 with her multi-Emmy-winning talk and entertainment show, Ellen. And on November 22nd, she'll be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom at a White House ceremony by Barack Obama himself, the last chance he'll get to host the event as president. It's the highest civilian honor a person can receive in the United States and is presented to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interest of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. DeGeneres joins 20 other distinguished honorees, including Diana Ross, Robert De Niro, Lorne Michaels, Cicely Tyson, Tom Hanks, Bruce Springsteen, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Robert Redford.
And finally, Boston-based True Colors Out Youth Theater, the nation's longest-running queer youth theater group, received the National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Award this week from First Lady Michelle Obama. As The Advocate reported, it was one of 12 honorees and the first LGBT organization to be so honored. Abe Rybeck is Executive Artistic Director of Theater Offensive, founded in 1989, which created True Colors, not connected with Cyndi Lauper's charity of the same name, in 1994. Rybeck told the news magazine that, "When we started doing this, using the words queer theater company and youth in the same sentence made people bristle. Now we have a chance to get a hug from a first lady who has done more for our community than any other first lady. It's hard to imagine," he added, what the White House atmosphere will be like for the groups that win this award next year.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 19th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
You're listening to This Way Out, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump!
It's hard to figure out whether one is watching a Bizarro World version of The Apprentice or The Bachelorette. Then you remember that this really is the first week of the transition into power of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. As Trump holds auditions for staff and cabinet positions, the LGBTQ community already has deep concerns about three announced appointments. Former Breitbart news editor and fringe right champion Steve Bannon as the president's chief strategist and senior advisor, former segregationist and confirmed homophobe Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions as his attorney general, and retired and discredited Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn as his national security advisor. The name of vehemently anti-queer William H. Pryor Jr., who's called for gay people to be jailed, has been floated as a possible Trump pick for the Supreme Court. The most painful result of the election returns, however, has been the dramatic rise in hate-related incidents, from pro-Trump graffiti on vandalized black churches to swastikas on the dorm rooms of Jewish college students to an increase in the already horrific harassment and violence against transgender people. The Southern Poverty Law Center reports over 700 incidents since 11/9. Meanwhile, San Francisco's public school teachers have been offered a classroom lesson plan to help one of the most diverse student populations in the country deal with post-election anxieties. The Associated Press reports that social studies teacher Fakra Shah wrote it for her own classes and didn't expect it to be sent by the teachers' union to its more than 6,000 members. Local Republican officials have vehemently condemned it, but a district spokesperson said only that the lesson plan is optional and not part of the official curriculum. It doesn't mince words. Let us please not sidestep the fact, part of the plan's introduction reads, that a racist and sexist man has become the president of our country by pandering to a huge racist and sexist base. We can uplift ourselves and fight oppression here at school, even if we cannot control the rest of the country.
Brace for impact. What does the Trump victory mean, and where do we go from here?
For This Way Out,
I am Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
Michelangelo Signorelli is a well-known activist, a serious radio show host, and author of the painfully timely titled book, It's Not Over, Getting Beyond Tolerance, Defeating Homophobia, and Winning True Equality. And he joins us by phone from New York City. All I could really come up with as an opening question was, how do we keep our heads from exploding?
I think that grieving, which I think a lot of people have been doing, is very important. But I think it's time to really pull out of that and get fired up and really fight. And I think that keeps you going. I think that keeps you focused and realizing that there's another day.
I think a lot of us do feel that way. Okay, I'm going to do something, but we're so used to doing things from the privacy of our, you know, telephones and computer terminals that we're kind of at a loss for what would actually be the best use of our energies. And what are your thoughts about that?
I think the protests have been amazing. I mean, for a time in which, as you just said, people are so used to being online and doing activism there, to see these numbers of people in the streets across the country has really been invigorating. And I think it's important for people to get out and do it. And it's not contesting the election or saying it was rigged or anything like that. It's people saying, this was not a normal election. It was a hate campaign. We cannot tolerate that. I think it's so important that Donald Trump and the Republicans know that people will mobilize very quickly and that we will be a force. And I hope what comes out of the protests is also a movement that goes into politics, that creates candidates and really helps to challenge the Republican Party in the way the Tea Party did with President Obama, although they were kind of an AstroTurf-created movement. This is a real movement of people on the streets, and I think it really can become something big.
How long, though? Doesn't the people on the streets thing have a certain lifespan? I mean, you can't flood the streets with protesting people every other week, can you? Can you?
Well, I think you might have to. It really depends on what we see moving forward. People probably will, start getting together. And I've been reading some accounts of getting together and sort of trying to create something else out of this movement that's grown on the streets. But as I said, is more political. But I think once they see something, like, for instance, the naming of Bannon, Steve Bannon, as a White House aide, or if we see any movement on immigration or LGBT rights or anything that is detrimental, I think people really need to be able to get back in the streets again. I think it really does show a force.
Is it me, or are we seeing perhaps a little late in the game this concept of intersectionality that has kind of existed in very political circles and in academia kind of coming to fruition? Like, people are seeing that it kind of doesn't matter what your personal issue is. We're sort of all in it together. Am I being kind of naive and optimistic about that?
No, I think that's true. I hate to say that Donald Trump unified us in that way.
Whatever it takes.
But it certainly is true, because I think we all were challenged to think about how others were experiencing things, how women were experiencing things, how immigrants were experiencing this hate. It just, everybody was challenged to think about it and to think about people for whom it does intersect in that way and for whom, you know, they are threatened in a variety of ways. And I think now that we see the hate that is being generated, we see that the hate is also equal opportunity. LGBT people are being attacked on the streets. Even though Donald Trump didn't make such hateful pronouncements, the people who are attacking Latinos and African Americans and yelling white power, they're attacking queer people as well. Donald Trump puts on a show. And the show he's putting on about LGBT rights has been that he says the words, he said the term LGBTQ, he even said on 60 Minutes, oh, marriage is settled. Of course, it's as settled as any of the judges he puts on the Supreme Court think it is, and every one of them is an extremist that will, he believes, overturn Roe v. Wade, so I don't know how they wouldn't overturn marriage. He's trying to put out this idea that he is somehow somewhat pro-LGBT. We have to dismantle that. Mike Pence is set to be the most powerful vice president in history, and that's according to what Donald Trump's campaign has said throughout, and now he's running the transition team and backing the transition team on domestic policy issues with anti-LGBT activists. And you know, it's all the little things. People should forget marriage equality. It's like a trap that people get stuck in. It would take years on putting two people on the Supreme Court to overturn marriage equality. But in the meantime, they can make same-sex marriage a second-class kind of marriage. They can pass the First Amendment Defense Act, which allows mm-hmm. for clerks like Kim Davis to turn away gay couples.
Just like what's happened to the abortion rights since Roe v. Wade.
That's right. And it's all the other stuff that the Obama administration has put in place throughout all the agencies, anti-bullying programs in schools that are funded by the federal government, health programs for LGBT people funded by the federal government, the transgender student directive to the schools. Mike Pence already said that was going to be dismantled, that they would defer to the states. The federal government shouldn't be telling the schools what to do. All of those agencies, Health and Human Services Department, Education Department, so many programs will be defunded while Donald Trump still goes on talk shows and says LGBTQ. So we have to focus in on that and expose that scam. As I wrote in my book, and as the title says, right, you have to live in the world of It's Not Over. Civil rights activists have had to live in that world. African Americans have had to live in that world since slavery. There are people who have struggled far more than we have. It's never really over because you're always defending rights when you're a minority or a marginalized group like women. You have to constantly live in the fight, and you have to constantly be on guard. And as I say, and it's not over, guard against victory blindness. There's this idea that someday it's all done. One day it's all done. You win these set of rights and it's all finished. And the moment that happens, it's gone. So I think you have to just reconfigure your life to live in the fight.
Michelangelo Signorelli is a well-known activist, a serious radio show host, and author.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. Chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light.
I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
We have one very smart woman with us, Karen Oakham, who is an award-winning Los Angeles area journalist. You've been covering LGBT issues for so long.
What struck me the most, because I've talked to Michelangelo about this, was his comments about victory blindness in the context of an ongoing civil rights struggle. So what came to my mind was keep your eye on the prize mm-hmm. because, you know, that's been true for the African-American struggle, for the Latino struggle, on and on and on. And it's true for us as well. I, like so many other people, you know, had this sucker punch. You know, I was so stunned and surprised because I expected one outcome and we wound up with Donald Trump.
I know.
How the hell did that happen?
I've heard other people refer to this. They say it waking up or going to sleep Tuesday night, it felt like a death in the family. And I'm thinking, I've had family members die, and you're prepared for that. It's a natural process, and you get
There's
over
some
this.
Rules for how to deal with that
yeah,
in a weird
like
way.
Yeah, this is like every single day you're going to be reminded. It happened.
But, you know, think about actually how far we have come. I mean, you know, in the 50s where, you know, so many of these religious right people want to take us back to, that's make America great again. That's what they're thinking.
It wasn't that great. I was there.
Well, but... You know, we had lobotomies, mm-hmm. you know, incarceration. I mean, that's what Stonewall was all about. Yeah. I mean, so we have come so far. So we have to, you know, sort of grab that word pride and reconfigure it and wear it like a rainbow color coat again and, you know, have our heads up. And even if we trip and fall and trudge along, you know, nonetheless, we have achieved a lot. We've walked a lot. We've got a lot farther to go. But, you know, I don't want to see us kind of stuck. And, you know, when he was talking about victory of blindness, yes, that happened. And now
it's over.
And now we need to say, okay, that was true. That happened. Now yeah. what? And what the now what is that we have to rethink everything. The Democratic Party is rethinking everything right now. And, you know, we do need to move forward. I've been thinking a lot about this, actually, and the way I have sort of translated it for me is kind of in a harm reduction model, you know, in HIV. You know, you meet people where they are, and then you try to, you know, sort of have mutual respect for each other right where you are. In this instance, my harm reduction model, my base of start is Maya Angelou's poem at the Clinton inauguration, where she talked about just saying good morning to the neighbor. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a simple place to start instead of, you know, coming on.
Kindness doesn't mean not fighting.
Well, that's exactly right. And nor having an agenda. If we are a movement about love, you know, saying good morning without the disrespect, without the hatred, is kind of disarming in some ways.
Here, on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes and into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
You know, this is ridiculous. Whatever happened to our humanity?
Yeah.
That's what I mean about just saying good morning as a starting place to try to, you know, bring back, to reclaim civility, reclaim decency, reclaim our humanity.
Karen Oakham, an award-winning Los Angeles area journalist.
For This Way Out, I am Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
There's got to be a morning up.
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 Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones and Abby Dees contributed program material with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Sweet Honey in the Rock, Michael Callan, AC/DC, and Maureen McGovern performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, who all make this program possible. Check out the latest show information, special offers, and more at thiswayout.org. If you'd like a CD copy of this week's show or just want to say hello, email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Alicia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KAZU Pacific Grove, California, WERU Bangor and Blue Hill Falls, Maine, to RRR Gladesville, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.